Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
5:05, hour three here on Primetime with Lynch and Suk today. Patrick Harris with us as well. You guys continue to talk about showgirls in the break.
Sada. Jesse Spano, man. Doesn't happen very often when one of your child, like something like that from your childhood, then turns into something completely different.
And you just thank the heavens that they made her.
Yes, and that she is a fan of poor decisions, because I think that probably ruined her career.
Don't they put that movie as one of the top five worst movies ever made?
Oh, yeah.
I actually think it's not that bad of a movie.
It really is. Like, you won't, I mean, you got like the Velocipastor and movies like that, like Raptor Island, but of actual like theatrical,
like non-sci-fi movies.
Yeah, like theatrical releases, that is bad as you will ever get. The acting, and that is a strong word to say acting in that movie on her part. Holy jeez. Yeah, somehow Gina Gershon, she survived it. Like, that movie killed everyone's career, but she kind of managed to hang around and do some other things after that.
All right, well, coming up this hour, we got Joey Harrington coming up at 5:30. And I want to talk a little bit about the update of the college football playoff potential expansion today with an official statement from Larry Scott, who is still technically in the job as the Pac-12 commissioner.
And there's an official statement from Mark Emmert, too, about the whole NIL.
I did see that.
Yeah, he had a kind of a pathetic, you've backed me into a corner, so I'm going to try to make it sound like this was my idea.
Don't you know I'm the victim?
So we'll get to that next, and then Joey Harrington coming up at 5:30 like he does almost every single Friday. But it is now time for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Number 5.
Number five is baseball today. Mariners got a walk-off win against the Rays yesterday. Comeback.
Best team in baseball. Not the Mariners, by the way.
The Rays. Well, the Giants are the best team in baseball.
The Giants have the best. I thought it was the Rays.
No, the Giants have the best record in baseball. Mariners got the walk-off win yesterday on a pinch hit Kyle Seager single. They play the Rays again tonight. 7:10 first pitch. Yusei Kikuchi on the mound against Michael Wacha. Wacha, Wacha, Wacha for Tampa. Other games going on right now. A's and Yankees tied at 2 in the top of the fourth. Pirates have a 6-0 lead on Cleveland. Sorry, Patrick, that's bottom four. Your Mets, Suk, scoreless with the Nats. You've also got Braves up 2-1 on the Cardinals in the second, and the Orioles have a 1-0 lead on the Blue Jays in the bottom of the fourth inning. Another good series starting in about 10 minutes. White Sox, Astros.
Yeah, White Sox have been stinking great. A lot of young talent.
And the Astros are the best hitting team in baseball, so that should be a pretty good game there. And I believe Carlos Rodon, he of the sub-2 ERA, is starting tonight. So that'll be a pretty good game as well.
Number 4.
If you haven't been watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, they've actually been pretty good this year. And we are into the conference finals.
This is what happens when Rob's gone. There's no golf updates, but we get the Stanley Cup. As opposed to Rob being like,
Even put hockey above baseball.
Preds, Canes, whatever. Well, it's regular season versus playoffs, which is why I did it. Tonight, you've got Golden Knights, Canadiens, Game 3. That series is tied at 1 game apiece. The atmosphere in Vegas for those first two games in Vegas were incredible.
Yeah, give Montreal credit, because Montreal is not a good team. They were a 500 team, and everyone thought the Knights were just going to bowl them over. And, hey, they went into Vegas and one of the best atmospheres in hockey, and they got a split.
I'm calling these the conference finals. They're not really. They're just like matchups based on COVID.
But it's.
And then yesterday, Lightning took a 2-1 series lead over the Islanders. But it's been good stuff.
Yeah,
so
the
if
winners
you,
go to the Stanley Cup.
Yes. So if you get bored of watching the NBA or there's a blowout, take a little flip over to watch Golden Knights Canadiens. Knights are really, really fun to watch.
I'll tell you what. My first sporting event after COVID was their first home playoff game, Vegas. It's such an incredible environment. Don't give me this Vegas locals won't support a team. Dude, that place was bananas, and it wasn't tourists.
They were
locals, and they do a great job.
Trade in the NBA today as the Celtics and new president of basketball operations Brad Stevens have shipped Kemba Walker out of town, along with the 16th pick in this year's draft and a second rounder in 2025. They're going to Oklahoma City for Al Horford's big contract, Moses Brown, and a second round pick in 2023.
It's incredible. Just do a little Google and see what Sam Presti has done over the last 3 or 4 years and what he has turned each one of those into. It's kind of amazing. And by the way, he's going to rehab Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker will get traded to a contender next year at the trade deadline and probably get back another one. I mean, it's just, it's very impressive. And I know Oklahoma City isn't very good right now, but no one has at least more of an opportunity to turn around over the next 3 or 4 years than them with their 8 million picks.
NBA playoffs today. We've got two games in action right now. It's on ESPN. Hawks lead the Sixers 25-18 in game 6 in the first quarter.
Have we talked about enough about how incredible this would be if the Hawks fire their coach midway through the year, upgrade Nate McMillan, and then he turns them into an Eastern Conference Finals team?
Yeah, well, if they win tonight, they will be. If they win one of the next two, they will be. That'll be an incredible story. I would have never thought Nate McMillan of all guys would be able to do that. But yeah, so the Hawks are up right now. The other game today is also game 6. That is Jazz Clippers. It's in LA. Clippers have a 3-2 series lead. Donovan Mitchell is going to play, although he's not playing at 100%. And Mike Conley, I believe, is a game time decision in that one.
I think he's getting closer, but yeah, I don't know if he's going to officially give this a go or not.
But some interesting games today, because I do think the Jazz are the better team than the Clippers, but being down 3-2, even with no Kawhi Leonard, I'm not sure the Jazz are going to get out of this series.
Come too far together. Stop now. Let's do it.
That's it, baby. Shut it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one.
Number one.
Number one.
U.S. Open, second round, still going on right now. Your leaders are Richard Bland and Russell Henley, who led the way yesterday as well. 5-under. Louis Oosthuizen's 4-under. Bubba Watson, John Rahm, Matt Wolf, Xander Schauffele, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, all 3-under par. The cut line is projected right now at 3-over. So as of now, Jordan Spieth would be cut. Tony Finau would be cut. Victor Hovland had to withdraw today, so he's obviously not going to play over the weekend. Phil Mickelson's right on that line. He's at 3-over through 12. Other notables, Dustin Johnson, 2-over. Justin Thomas, 1-over, as is Rory. Bryson DeChambeau, even par. Brooks Koepka, 1-under.
Yeah, good luck seeing it. I guess the viewer, the way to absorb the U.S. Open has been quite convoluted this
Hopefully
year.
Hopefully easier on the weekend when it gets down to the final round.
A little bit easier on the weekend.
As Rop would say, good little leaderboard headed into the weekend. I don't actually know if that's true.
It's a pretty soft leaderboard.
I don't know who the hell Richard Bland or Russell Henley are, but I know who Louis Oosthuizen is.
Yeah, and you got Bubba and Rahm. Wolf's kind of a young guy, but it's not the greatest of leaderboards. But
he would still say good little leaderboard.
According to Rob, there's never not a good little leaderboard.
The only thing that I'll be missing from this is Rob likes to give his picks for the weekend, and I like to like snag a guy with long odds just to see if I can get a win.
Yeah.
I think I got Morikawa last year on one of the majors. I texted him the list. I was like, who do you think? And he was like, oh, those are some good odds. And I took Morikawa and he won, and I got it at like +1600.
I will tell you that nice. If you're looking to get involved in golf, live golf betting is amazing.
Because the odds are so good, even for favorites. It's
you can get some,
I can get this at +300.
Some big swings, and you can get guys in the top 7 or top 10. Live golf betting has, at least in the majors, Rob's trying to get me to do it like on just the smaller tournaments, which I haven't brought myself to those levels yet. But when it comes to the majors, I'm all on board when it comes to putting a little juice. Although I'm not going to lie, it's been a little bit of a rough start. So we may have to reset.
All you need is one win.
We may have to reset over the weekend and try to try to push our chips to the middle here and end up with a better open.
You get one of those guys in the big odds, it'll make up for all the other bad starts, yeah. Right? All right, that's the Hot 5 to 5 brought to you by Coors Light. I don't have the read because Rob doesn't have it here. So Coors Light!
There you go.
Mountain Cold Refresh made to chill. Is that what it is?
Sure, let's go with that.
Is that what he does? All right, coming up next, the college football playoff continues to meet and discuss the expansion of the college football playoff to 12 teams. The conferences all got together and talked about it today. And Larry Scott came out with a statement saying he likes it, sort of. That's next. This is Primetime with Lynch and Stuke today on The Fan.
It's time for Who's Leading the Charge. A look under the hood at the coaches, players, and teams getting it done. Brought to you Giannis by Battery Exchange.
Giannis having a big time. Got 19. In his bag, kicks it out. Middleton, same spot, same result. Remix.
So great decision from Giannis, right? He could have taken the mid-range. He knows Chris is cooking, and he's a better mid-range shooter, and he delivers it.
Bucks withstood a little bit of a comeback from the Nets and took the game yesterday to force game 7.
Middleton has been great, and rightfully so. He's taken some blame for disappearing in big moments because he's supposed to be the other big one there along with Giannis, but he was the best player last night. You can make the argument he's been Milwaukee's best player this whole series.
Who's Leading the Charge brought to you by Battery Exchange with 14 area locations to serve you, offering free electrical system checks for your vehicle. Go to BatteryExchangeWithAnX.com.
Yeah. The home of Dirt and Spray.
I'm Dirt. It really is.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suit.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
College football playoff continues to meet to discuss the expansion to 12 teams, the proposal they have received.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
they're doing meetings like all month. They're meeting with different groups that are part of the college football playoff. Yeah. And this was just one of those meetings. I saw some of the college football reporters actually went and covered it. So that was pretty cool to see people back, like not on Zoom calls, covering some stuff. The news of this today, outside of the fact that everyone seems to support the expansion, is that the Pac-12 supports it mostly. Is the Pac-12, and Larry Scott came out with a statement. He's still there, even though I think his last day is June 30th. But he's still there for now. He and Kliavkov were both there. And he came out with a statement saying, "We support the expansion, but we believe that the Autonomy 5, a.k.a. the Power 5, should annually qualify for the college football playoff."
Yeah. Well,
which is not exactly what the plan is.
No.
The plan is to have automatic qualifiers for the 5 highest-ranked conference champions, regardless of conference.
Which 99.9% of the time will include the Pac-12.
Yes.
The weird part is that last year, you know, it was strange because I think Oregon, even with the Pac-12 title game, played what, like 6 games? So it was kind of funky. But last year, technically, Oregon would have been left out.
Yes.
Because
Coastal Carolina and Cincinnati,
and then you weren't one of these 6 at-large teams. You know, very good year.
Yeah.
So I get where you're coming from on that. But look, if you would have gone through the entire season, the odds of the Pac-12 having a champion that isn't ranked higher than 2. You can even be outranked by 1 of the powers that be, right? But you're going to have to get outranked by 2. When are the odds of that happening? And if that does happen, it probably means that your champion has 3 or 4 losses. And if that's the case,
they don't really deserve it.
You probably don't really deserve it. So yeah. I get where you're coming from if you're the Pac-12 and you're trying to stand up and say, hey, we're the Pac-12 and we deserve a place at the table. But in this scenario, this is if you fail, it's on you. And if you look at the Pac-12, if you look back over the last like 10 to 12 years and you were to extrapolate this out, the Pac-12 did extraordinarily well. Oregon made it 5+ times. Washington made it 4 or 5 times. USC made it a couple. Colorado made it. Utah made it. Arizona made it. You had a lot. Stanford made it, I think, 3 or 4. So you had a lot of representation, and there were some years you had multiple teams in. There was one of those years that Oregon would have played Utah in the first round. So for the Pac-12 to say that this is somehow a bad thing for you, it's ridiculous.
And I think for the sport of college football, this is the best thing. I didn't really talk about it with you guys on the air too much when this news broke, but for me, this is perfect because it gives the little guys that chance that they want. Not that they're going to win multiple games,
no,
but it gives them the chance to prove it. It gives the UCF the chance to say, you know, instead of raising a fake national title banner, they get to go play whatever team is in the college football playoff,
sure,
and get a chance to beat them. Yeah. And if they beat them, and then you get a chance to go again,
then you get a chance to get your ass kicked by Alabama.
Right. And I kind of like that, though, because it, a lot of people are worried about this, like hurting the regular season. I think that helps the regular season because it means more games and more conferences matter. And I think that helps. And you're right. The Pac-12 would make it almost every single time. Yes. Anyway, as long as you have a team that's got one or two losses, you're going to be fine. You're going to be in this new expanded playoff.
Oh, even at 2 losses, you're going to be fine.
That's what I'm saying, yeah, is that you'll be fine.
But if you have a 3-loss champ, I get maybe you get a little spooky.
I just hope that the Pac-12 doesn't go into this and try to really hold firm on this and try to force the Pac-12 to get an automatic qualifier, because I really enjoy what is being proposed right now. I think it's the perfect system.
I wonder if the Pac-12 has the juice in order to pull that off. Because I don't see any other conference that's worried about this. The only one that's brought it up is the Pac-12, which is saying something.
Yep.
But I just don't know if everyone else is on board, if the Pac-12 has the juice in order to pull this off. And it really should be a non-issue because, again, more often than not, and I mean more often than not, like I said, 99 times out of 100, you're going to be fine. But if you have one of those odd years, like last year, the crappy NFC East, if Washington or Dallas or New York or one of those BS 6 or 7 win teams didn't make the playoffs, would anyone be upset? No, they didn't deserve to be there. Now, Washington actually ended up having a halfway decent account for themselves, and they gave Tampa arguably their toughest game. But we were all season long, we were like, oh my God, I can't believe someone is going to make the postseason out of this crappy conference. And I'm sorry, but I root for the Pac-12. But if the Pac-12 is coming down the stretch and they've got a bunch of 3 and 4 loss teams that are battling for the title, I will have zero sympathy if you get left out.
I also think that it's like the NBA before they changed it, when the division winner was given the 3 or 4 seed and could host.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't as good as the teams below them, you're like, why is this team hosting this? They're not as good as the team below them. And they got rid of it. It's almost like a participation trophy that you don't need.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like to your point about with this current system, if the Pac-12 doesn't get a team in, they don't deserve to be in. Yeah. Nobody wants to see a 3 or 4 loss conference champion in a college football playoff. That team, maybe they won their conference. It's probably not a quote unquote fluke, but they're not good enough to be represented with the 12 best teams in the country. You shouldn't want to see that.
No,
it wouldn't be good football.
No. And you can bitch and moan, but if we looked at the ACC and let's say take Clemson out of it, right? And let's say Clemson, something like an Ebola outbreak happens and Clemson is just shut down. Would anyone sit there and look at the ACC and be like, what? North Carolina, who is like 8-4? And you're like, oh, North Carolina deserves this. No, we'd all look at that and be like, they don't belong in there.
But what about the U? The U's good for college.
Yeah, I just say you can't convince me that a team that is that mediocre not being in the playoff is somehow a negative thing. Especially when other years, the Pac-12, some of these scenarios had 3 teams that made it in. There were years that under this system, the Pac-12 would have 3 teams. So I don't know. I think this should not be an issue for the Pac-12. And I hope that the rest of the conferences don't give into it.
What I also wonder, is this like a Larry Scott thing? And like when he's gone oh my God, I just said his name and I forget it already.
Klyavkov.
George Klyavkov, is he going to be like, yeah, we get it. Just make this happen.
Yes.
Is this just like Larry Scott's last hurrah? Like, look, Pac-12, I wasn't so bad. I'm fighting for you.
It's possible. But Larry Scott, go away. You no longer have any sort of, I don't know where he goes from here.
Why is he going to this?
I don't. Exactly. Just take your money and go away.
Right.
That's like, believe me, if they tell me tomorrow that I'm being fired, like in 4 days,
I'm being fired today.
Yeah. Yeah, again, whatever they do decide to can me, they better let me know at the end of my show, because if you tell me at the beginning, you better find someone else to host, because I'm not coming
Adios
in and doing
muchachos.
It.
I'm walking out right meow. All right, Joey Harrington coming up next for his weekly chat with...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
5:30 on Friday means it's time for story time with Joey Harrington. Now, Joey, with Rob being out, we're not going to ask you any U.S. Open questions for that right off the bat.
What?
Yeah, when Rob's gone, like we try to steer clear of golf
because I don't care about it, and Suk doesn't know about it.
Why am I on the show
then? Like, I humor Rob with hot golf talk, and I can't do it to Lynch. Otherwise, then he's going to come back with some sort of weird soccer or heavy metal talk, and then all of a sudden we're just spiraling out of control.
Yeah, I'll just take control of the conversation how I want to if you go golf. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, does that mean we're going to the Euro? We're going Euro 2020?
I mean, I'll talk about England-Scotland. I just watched the game.
All right. Give me some thoughts.
It was really, really, really bad by England, and Harry Kane barely touched the ball, and it was embarrassing.
Did Scotland win?
No, it was a 0-0 draw.
Zipper. Zipper.
Yeah. I was going to say, because, you know, Scotland's not good at the game of soccer, but they hate England, and so it's...
They held them to a point, hey, so, you know, it was a good game for Scotland.
Suck it, England. Go Flower of Scotland. My favorite part, like, as I lived in Scotland, is that during the national anthem is called Flower of Scotland, and in there, they tell King Edward, you know, that one of the lines is that King Edward, you know, to go back, and when they ever say King Edward, the whole crowd yells out, "You bastard." It's fantastic. It's the only national anthem that curses another country. And if you ever get a chance to be in Scotland and hear 65,000 or 70,000 people sing the Flower of Scotland, it is amazing when they get to tell King Edward, "You bastard," to go back home and think again. And then when they do it, they all flip him the double bird, or the ones in kilts turn around and they moon him.
Wow.
Like they give you the BA when King Edward gets brought up. It's a magical place.
Now, what are you talking about? Like, this is the best conversation we've had in weeks. How is this? How, I mean, we should talk soccer every single time.
Look, I am not a soccer guy.
That would make me very happy, but I'm only in here this Friday.
I'm not a soccer guy, but the 7 months or whatever I spent over there in NFL Europe, the soccer, if you're over, I totally get it. If you're over there, I don't know how you don't get hooked. Because I went to probably 6 soccer games in a couple different countries, and every single one of them, I had an amazing time.
Are you saying you don't like going to the Timbers game either?
Yeah, the Timbers games are fun.
Come on, you jerk.
I'm telling you, it's not the same. Timbers games are fun. I've been to a couple. I went to one when I was down in Florida, when I lived down there. But that was like, that wasn't even, and Major League Soccer wasn't even around. It was some even smaller than that. But there's just nothing like a European soccer crowd. We went to one in the Netherlands. Oh my gosh. They had to put, there's like a barbed wire cage that they put the other team's fans in. And then, the Dutch, who I thought were supposed to be nice, they're throwing beer bottles at them and they're breaking in the cage and they're shaking it. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is happening. And
so that's the difference. That's the difference between, we'll just call it American soccer and European football, is that intensity. I mean, because the Timbers matches, and okay, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm not going to go that far yet. The Timbers matches are fun. They are, even if you don't enjoy soccer, just the atmosphere, the army, the flags, it's just a fun atmosphere from start to finish too. I mean, it's 90 minutes of just enjoyable crowd.
Yeah.
I went to, when we were over there playing, we were in London playing with the Saints when we were playing in the game in Europe, and I wasn't playing, and and it was my birthday, and so I was like, hey, I'm just going to go to who's playing? It was Champions League, Chelsea against AC against Rome, Roma. And like you said, it was the visiting section had a police officer, an armed guard, on the end of every single row.
Yeah.
And it was just one tiny little section up in the corner. And yeah, I mean, they are screaming. They are cursing. You're thinking, if you're a visiting fan, you may not get out of there with your life. And the thing is too, it's not just for the visiting fans. There are some people behind us and so I was there with Scott Fujita. I don't know if you remember, linebacker for Cal.
I played against Scott Fujita, one of the best college players I ever played against. Outside linebacker for Cal, number 49. That dude was a stud.
I remember him on the Saints. Yeah.
Yes, and he was about 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", 245, 255. I mean, just a beast of a guy. And he's trying to sit in these tiny little
olden times chairs.
Exactly. And so his knees, like, even when they were bent up as far as he could go, they were just, clarning the dude in front of him in the back of the head. I mean, and it was like, the guy turned around the first couple times, and we're at Chelsea. Stanford Bridge.
Yep.
And, he knees him in the back the first time, and it's, sorry, man. Yeah. I apologize. And the next time the guy looks back and he gets upset, and the third time it happens, he says something and he's like, look, man, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm as small as I can get right now. It happens a fourth time, and the guy turns around and he starts to fight. Like, I take this out in the parking lot type of fight, and his buddy's holding him back. Like, just take a step back. And Scott, who's still sitting down, just kind of laughing, like, this guy seriously wants to fight me simply because my knees were in the back of his head. All of a sudden, Chelsea scores. And like right during that argument, Chelsea scores. Everybody goes crazy. In that instance, that guy turned from Scott Fujita's worst enemy to his best friend. Like, he's hugging him. He's like, yeah, come here, give me some love. It was a very surreal experience.
Yeah, I mean, I've told it, on air before, but with Joey, it was a friendly between Scotland and Germany, and a bunch of the English hooligans, like known criminals, came to the game, and a bunch of the Germans had come to the game, and I was like, what's going on? And the guys are like, the English are coming up because they hate the Germans, and then the Scots and the English will get together and we'll hate the Germans together. And during the game, we were like buying these flags, these big Scotland flags, and they all had metal poles on them. And I was like, oh, I see what we're doing here. And
then after, this is going.
Yeah. And then after the game, everyone met in the parking lot. And the guy that I went with, who was supposedly one of the security guys for our team, and we met in the parking lot. And I mean, long story short, we had a soccer riot. And I still have the flag that's pinned up in my garage. And there's a lot of blood on it because, well, it was a soccer riot. And that's why they sold. You know, because they check you for weapons, you know, when you come into the game. There was a whole pad down and everything, but they were selling Scottish flags on big, heavy metal poles, and we now see why, because every one of us had a metal pole, and the Germans broke a bunch of the barriers, the wooden barriers, and so they had big wooden pieces that they had broken off, and we had metal poles, and right there in the parking lot, it was on, and it was like predetermined before. Like, it was like, hey, let's meet here in the parking lot afterwards and let's swing some stuff at each other, because it was, Suk, quote, a friendly.
Suk, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. You kept your head on a swivel. All right. You might want to lay low for a little while, because I think you killed somebody with a trident.
You might be wanted for murder.
I'm not kidding.
You might be wanted for murder.
That is as close to that scene as I'm like literally standing there with these guys. And I'm like, what are we really? Like, what's happening? And then you're not really wanting to be involved in it, but then you really can't help it because
you're in the middle, right?
You're in the middle, and there's really nowhere to go. Like, you're all kind of cornered off, and some dude's coming at you, and so you, look, you're not proud of it, but you just start swinging. And by the time you're done, you got a flag that's covered in blood, and everyone thinks you're great, and then you're going to have beers. And, you know, it's still up. Years later, I was hanging it in my garage, and it's been in my garage whenever I've gone anywhere. And one of my kids, they were like 12. They're like, Dad, is that blood? And I was like, yes, son. Yes, it is. It's a story for another time. Is it your blood? No, son. No, it's not. But it's, we'll deal with that another time. European soccer, catch the fever.
Joey, how
can you not say this is the best segment we've ever done? We need to talk soccer every time. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. You will never get Rop on board with that, though. Never, ever, ever. Has there been a game that you've played in here in the States that ever came close to matching that energy at the Chelsea-Roma game you went to?
But see, it's different. Like, it's different being on the field versus in the stands, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so a game that I played in, I mean, sure, there are games. You know what I remember? God, and I'm drawing, again, we're going back to Cal. He was a defensive lineman, and he came out and said in the, you know, in like the pregame or the pre interviews leading up to the week that he wanted to try and injure me. I was like, well, all right, cool, whatever. And so we're at the bottom of the pile, and this guy's like twisting ankles and, you know, twisting my ankle and jamming my knee. I was like, what the hell is going on? And I mean, it was one of those things where my, you know, our offensive line started to get after him and their cheap shots. And it kind of turns into one of those things. Come to find out that the year before, when Kyle Bowler was a freshman, Michael Fletcher, who was a strong safety for us, you know, hit him on the sideline and hit him good. He ended up breaking his collarbone. And, you know, of course I would never cheer for somebody to get injured. And Kyle is a friend now. And, but when Fletch hit him, you know, it was a big play. And so I jumped up and, you know, I was excited on the sideline, and this D lineman saw me get excited. And for the entire year had that in his head, like, that I'm this jerk that was cheering because Kyle was up, or because Kyle was down on the ground injured, and his single goal was to try and injure me in the next year's game. So that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, where just bad blood, and it when you're in those games, it's different. It's
Suk's always talked about when he's had like
Mississippi State was always
thrown at him and stuff like that, right?
Well, that was Wyoming and Fresno State. Like, some of those little small places are pretty rough. I was hit with a bottle full of urine at Wyoming when I was on crutches. Like, I mean,
Reno dumped beer on us when we came out of the tunnel. But like, those are things that, I mean, it's almost kind of laughable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, the thing I can think of is we're actually with the Saints, and it was with Jeremy Shockey. Because when the fans try and get involved, it's almost like you can just kind of tell, like, they just want to be, they're doing it because they want to be where you are, right? They want to feel like they're part of the game. They want to feel like they've gotten to you. Like, yeah, you know, I got into his head, and
because that's the only way they can be part of it. Like, they can't do what you're doing. And so, you know, they throw beer and they try and say all sorts of things. And Jeremy Shockey, I mean, God bless that guy. I don't know where he is now. I hope he's doing all right. But he and a fan got into it to the point where it was like, ooh, Shock, you can't say that. Like, you, the things you're saying right now might, you know, put you in jail. Like, you got to stop. Like, come back over here. And then, you know, Drew's trying to grab him to come over and, you know, start the next series. But yeah, I mean, it's almost kind of laughable when the fans try and get involved. It's when a guy's trying to rip your face off that things get kind of intense.
And it's, you know, back then there wasn't social media or anything. It didn't blow up. But I remember one time we were playing, it was like my junior year. Our big rivalry was Utah. I called it the Holy War. And we beat Utah at their place. And, you know, there's a family section. And so we're over on the sidelines. We had won the conference. And so they were handing out like T-shirts and hats, you know, like, you know, like, hey, you won the, you know, the Mountain West or whatever. And we noticed, like, up in the, like, our family section, which is kind of behind our bench, there was like a commotion. And a linebacker of ours, Derek Stevenson, he went on and played with the Dolphins for a couple
years.
Yeah,
I remember him.
Yeah, he's kind of a scary dude. He was one of those guys, like a little bit unhinged. And we saw like this thing up in the crowd and we were like, oh, look at that. And then someone was like, I think Derek's up there. And we were like, what? And we look up and Derek is in full uniform, no helmet, just lacing into a guy. I guess someone attacked his dad.
Whoa.
Someone punched Derek's dad and Derek went into the stands and annihilated him. Like literally just had him like by the shirt and was raining blows. Dude's face was all busted up and ended up on the ground. And like the security came and pulled, you know, had to pull Derek off. And we were like, like, is he like going to get arrested? And nothing, as far as I know, ever really came of it. But like, I think
the thing is, well, people don't understand how big and ridiculously scary some of these guys are.
Yes.
Right? You're standing up there in the stands at, you think you're pretty big at 6'1", you know, 205 pounds. And you're in the, you know, you were in the weight room last week at 24 hour fitness bench in 185. You know, and
hell yeah.
You start running your mouth. I kid you, some of the things that guys have said to us or players on the field, that had the players actually responded in a way that was deserving of what these guys were saying, like they'd never say it on the street because, you know, there could be some sort of retaliation. But if there ever was an altercation between one of these players and that guy in the stands, it would be an absolute bloodbath.
Yeah. Of all
absolute. Oh my God. I mean, you know it, Sook. These guys are massive.
Of all the players' fathers to punch, that guy picked the worst one, because I've always said on every team, it's a team, you know, every team has tough guys and your big guys. There's always two or three that are just different.
You've always mentioned Michael Pittman. Mm-hmm.
Michael he was terrifying. There's always a couple, and Derek on our team was one of those guys. You decided to go punch his dad, who was like an old man, like kind of an old fat guy. So you're like, oh, I'm gonna punch this old fat guy. Yeah, his 250 pound irrationally angry son is now coming up, and today that would have been all over the news and social media and all that. But I remember that was like 98 or 99 and nothing really came of it. But I will never forget them dragging that guy out and he was just slumped over in just a blood and just a bloody mess. Wrong dad to punch.
The mean streets of Salt Lake.
Exactly.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back with Joey Harrington, I want to ask him about what's going on at Arizona State and how it may be affected by NFL coaches going to coach at college and then leading to recruiting violations. This is Storytime with Joey every Friday at 5:30 here on The Fan.
What's all this about, Dr.?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it
in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Story time with Joey here on Primetime on Fridays. Joey, the news of the week out of the Pac-12 is the alleged recruiting violations by Arizona State. And, you know, we've seen this similar things with this with a bunch of schools, and it's nothing new, nothing earth-shattering. But the thought that kind of came to my mind when I saw the story was, oh, this is a guy who came from the NFL who had no coaching experience in college in Herm Edwards. He brought in Antonio Pierce to be one of his top assistants, who also didn't have coaching experience in the college level. And now Arizona State's found to have been committing recruiting violations left and right. I was curious kind of on your opinions on the guys jumping from the NFL to college and whether or not that would have the effect on recruiting violations or playing a little bit dirty or anything like that.
Okay, so I just need to clarify here. I mean, what, and I'm going to be honest, I've seen some, but I haven't really read in depth about what they're talking about. The things that I've read, you know, the quotes from A.D. Barnhart, and I mean, they made it sound, you know, the headlines made it sound like it was some absolutely massive, extravagant, I cannot believe that this kind of happened, or this happened kind of thing. And then I read the article and it just says that there's some potential recruiting violations during COVID time. And so can you explain to me what we're talking about?
Yeah. So basically what it boils down to is that during COVID, recruiting stopped. You weren't allowed to have on-campus visits.
It was like a year plus.
It was a year plus of just dead period. And Arizona State apparently just kept business as usual and brought athletes, brought family, brought friends, and paid for it all too, which again, you weren't allowed to do. And they took photos, there's receipts. And I guess there was a bunch of people inside the program that said, guys, we can't do this. And when they do that, Herm Edwards basically ran him out. And so his own staff ratted him out with photos and with receipts. And I guess they're lining up. It's like a mutiny. They're lining up to talk to the NCAA. So they've got Arizona State just kind of dead to rights. So, and by the way, Arizona State had one of the worst outbreaks on their football team of COVID during the season. So
this wasn't necessarily a recruiting violation, but just kind of shady recruiting practices. There had been some talk that they were pulling scholarships like a week before signing day from players that they had already had soft commits from. And, you know, not giving them any time to change their mind. There's a rumor that one of their coaches was going to official visitors for another school and telling them that they were going to kick blank team's ass. And
Arizona State flipped the double bird to everything you could possibly flip it to during COVID times.
Well, so okay, that's kind of the feeling that I got from. I don't have a problem. Well, I shouldn't say I don't have a problem. It doesn't surprise me that schools are pulling scholarships last minute. That's the business of what has happened, and it stinks for kids. But you know, I'll never forget Rashad Bowman when we were talking about getting recruited and signing day. He's like, "Yeah, I sent in, or I had five letters of intent sent to me." I was like, "What do you mean you had five letters of intent sent to you?" He's like, "Yeah, I committed to every school that I went to." Like, how did you do that? Why did you do that? I knew that these guys were shady and that at any moment they could pull my scholarship. So I committed to everybody. And then they all sent a letter of intent to me. And one day, and on signing day, I sent one back.
Wow.
And the others I didn't respond to. Because he took that NFL approach, which is just, hey, I'm going to look out for me. So it doesn't surprise me that the cutthroat recruits having scholarship pulled, that's nothing. What the recruiting violation stuff and the fact that they had such a big outbreak during the season, it doesn't sound so much as a to me, and this is just a outside looking in, as an NFL to college type thing, as it does a disregard for the pandemic type thing. I mean, that's what it sounds. I mean, if you're just going to continue business as usual during a pandemic, it says to me that you don't necessarily believe in what is happening, right? It falls in line with, the idea of, oh, I don't need to wear a mask, or it's not going to affect me, or, you know, whatever the rationale is, or this is a, you know, government conspiracy, whatever path you want to take. And then to have your team break out, then those things all kind of line up for me. So I don't see it as a NFL to college thing, as much as I just kind of see it as a disregard for somebody, you know, you're not going to tell me what to do kind of thing.
Yeah. And I've always wondered, like, when guys, no one wants to, I can't say no one, a lot of people like the NFL as far as coaching better than college. And I've always assumed it's just because of that. When you're in the NFL, you know, outside of your owner and your GM, you do what you want. When you're in college, you do. There are a lot of people that have to tell you what to do, or you kind of got to be creative and, you know, kind of work in the gray area. And I've always thought that's what drives people to want to coach in the NFL versus college. In college, you've got better job security. You can still get paid as much. No players can talk back to you. You can keep them under your thumb. You're the king S on campus. You can do whatever, you know, kind of you want basically in your program. But there is always these kind of weird, nonsensical rules. And I always thought that's what drove the Chip Kellys or Nick Sabans or whatever, Butch Davis, all these guys that just were massive successes in college that were like, yeah, I want the NFL.
The NFL, from the guys that I've played with and against and gotten to know through the years who are now coaching, you don't have to recruit.
Yeah,
that's it for three quarters of them. Is you actually get somewhat of an off season. You don't have to spend February, the second week of February, in Topeka, Kansas, in Sally Thompson's living room, trying to convince her son to come spend the next 5 years, you know, playing for you. I mean, that's it. I mean, is having to bounce from town to town, from place to place, from living room to living room, from hotel to hotel. It gets old. And you don't get to see your family as much, and that's the draw for the NFL, is that you get to stay in one place, and you don't have to go out and recruit people to come to you. That's what the GM does, and they'll sign their free agents, and you know, you cook with the ingredients that you got. But your job is not to recruit those players, and that's the difference that, in my opinion, from what I've heard from college.
I guess that's why I asked the question the way I did, because when I think of a guy like Herm Edwards making the jump to college, he might have the thought of like, oh, that's right, I got to recruit these kids, and that's not part of my job. I don't really care what the rules are. Let's just do this. Let's just do this.
Yeah, get it out of the way, yeah, sort of thing.
That's why I was kind of wondering if that may have been part of the reason why it was such a seemingly egregious lapse of the recruiting rules.
And that may be it. I mean, that's and I think the fact that there is so much politicized about the pandemic itself, maybe is shading my perception of the situation. Maybe if they weren't in a pandemic, he'd still be doing the same damn thing, right? He'd still be breaking the rules to make it fit into his schedule. And so, yeah, I mean, there's that distinct possibility that Herm was just going to do his recruiting on his time and his schedule, and the rules be damned. So, yeah, that's a very realistic possibility.
I've always felt that for a lot of these guys, recruiting, you know, the rules are so arbitrary and, you know, and they think they're dumb. And I was just on your day-to-day life. Think about like the speed limit, right? Like we know the speed limit's 55. Does anyone really respect the speed limit at 55? Or there's in every walk of life, there's rules.
That slow Prius in the left lane does.
Yeah. There's just all these rules that we're expected to follow. But I think every one of us, to some extent, kind of picks and chooses what we respect and what we don't as far as laws or rules to follow, whether it's at work or home or, you know, with anything. And I kind of feel like a lot of people look at the stupid NCAA rules and they just laugh at them and be like, as long as I don't get caught, I really don't care whether or not we break these things, because I think they're pointless. And so as long as we
going 62 and a 55 as opposed to 65 and a 55, you know, you kind of pick your spot of like, how much can I, you know, realistically get away with? And when I drive by this cop that, you know, puts the radar gun on me, he's not going to pull me over at 62.
Yeah. I've always said, if you get caught and hammered by the NCAA, you were driving 105. Like, we all speed, but if you do 105 and a 55, you deserve to get caught. And you really have to go out of your way to get busted by the NCAA. And this is my thing with Arizona State. Your own people turned you in. They were lining up to rat you out. That's how bad you were. That's how much of an a-hole and how much you flaunted this, that multiple people on your own staff were like, yeah, we're taking you down. That's, you went 130, you know, in your Lamborghini in a school zone. So I have no sympathy. If, you know, these ticky-tack NCAA rules, whatever. But when you flaunt it, you get what you deserve.
And that says more to me about Coach Edwards' relationship with his coaches than it does necessarily about the rules that he broke.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you have a great relationship with your assistant coaches, if they believe in what you're doing, if they are on board, then they're going to go to bat for you, right? Or turn you in. Or they're going to have a significant conversation and say, hey, look, coach, you know, this is what I'm comfortable with. This is what I'm not. This is what I'm worried about. And know that their voice is going to be heard. And so that says to me that they didn't have that relationship and they didn't have that type of communication. And it came back to bite them in the butt.
All right, Joe, before we let you go here, I'm loving the little Joey Harrington Blazer season ticket holder hot takes. Now that we've got some names whittled down for the Blazers head coaching job, and now that you've seen some of the rumors out there, what's like the perfect realistic Blazers offseason for you moving forward?
What is the perfect offseason? I've said this from, like, I've been saying this for the last 5 years. We need a power forward. And we need a power forward who's going to get dirty and who's going to get nasty and doesn't care about scoring, who wants to play defense and wants to clean the boards, right? Because we got a big guy who can score. Nurk is not the best center in the league, but he's, you know, there aren't too many Joel Embiids out there, all right? So Nurk is a pretty heck center. We've got arguably, you know, what, top three backcourts in the NBA, maybe top five if you, you know.
Depending how you value CJ, yeah.
Exactly. We need a power forward. We need a Ben Wallace. We need a guy who doesn't care about anything except playing defense and getting rebounds. And so for all the, I can't tell you what a great, you know, what coach is going to be the right one for that mix of players. You know, whether it's Rick Carlisle
Becky Hammon.
Well, that's where I was going to go. Is the guy who's been in that situation, the guy who's Chauncey and Rip with Rasheed as, call him a stretch five, is Chauncey, right? Ben Wallace was that guy. Mm-hmm. Chauncey has lived that situation. Now, does he have a lot of coaching experience? No, he doesn't. But he has played and he has had success pretty much in the exact type of team makeup that the Blazers have right now. Two fantastic guards. A big guy who can stretch, because remember when Rasheed was with Detroit, he was not the rebounder that he was with Portland. He wasn't the end of the basket guy. That was when he started to stretch and really become a, you know, we'll call him a stretch four because Ben Wallace was technically the five, but you know, Ben Wallace was shorter than Rasheed. So he was that fluid big man who could score. I don't know. I like the idea of a coach who has lived experience with this type of team. But that being said, they have to go out and find that guy. They have to get that power forward. They have to get the guy who's going to be the grit, who's going to be the dirt, because we got some great wings. We got great guards. We got a smooth center. We don't have the dirty.
You don't have the bruiser. Right?
You don't have the dirty, and it's kind of like what Suk was talking about a few minutes ago, right? You can put together a team of just fantastic talent, but you got to have one or two guys that's a little bit crazy, and one or two guys that, you know, they're going to get themselves tossed out because they get angry and they want to protect somebody. But you got to have that on a team if you're going to be – you can win a lot of games with really good players, but if you're going to win a championship, you need a little bit of crazy. You need a little bit of dirty. And that's what we're missing right now.
Well, there you go. That's what Joey Harrington wants for the Blazers, his perfect situation this offseason. Thanks, Joey. That was some good story time today. Thank you.
Yeah, all I got to do is talk soccer. I mean, it just leads to great conversations,
there
right?
You go. Yeah, well, Rob will be back next week, but we'll have you back on 5:30 every –
Thanks.
Fridays with Joey Harrington, every 5:30, brought to you by BMW of Portland, where relationships matter. The club is next here on Primetime with Lynch and Suk on The Fan.
In business, it's never just another day. Every day is the day. It could bring your biggest...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.